Psalm of Asaph.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
Well, good evening, everyone in Lamb Radio World. This is Kenard Brown again. I'm your host for the Merciful Servants of God Biblical Instructional Program. This program has been on the air for almost 8 years, and I, again, thank the people who have birthed and created the Messianic Lamb Radio, internet radio station, to allow me to teach Messianic believers, Hebrew Roots believers, on this program. This program today will be about the doctrine or the instruction of immersions. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2. That's one of the foundational scriptures. The other foundational scripture is Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. But first, before I get into the topic of this program, I like to follow what Yeshua told us all to do. Let's turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Actually, verse 34, Luke 21, verse 34, and take heed to yourselves, that not at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares, unexpectedly. Verse 35, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. And verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. What things is he talking about? Well, if you look at this, Luke chapter 21 is the Olivet prophecy, because he stated this prophecy and gave this prophecy while he was on the Mount of Olives. Also, Mark chapter 13 is another version of it, and Matthew chapter 24. Now, I want you to be aware of something. Most people don't consider this, but let's turn to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57, starting in verse 1. It says, the righteous perish, and no man layeth to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. So this is another way to escape all these things, for God to not allow you to live through the tribulation, but your salvation is guaranteed. You will receive a crown. Verse 2, he shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. So that's another way that I know some people perhaps may struggle with that idea, but hey, that is another way to escape all these things, and one day you will stand before the Son of Man in the first resurrection. Because what is the first resurrection picture? Ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to Revelation chapter 20 and find out. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. I am looking forward to the day when this angel, in all likelihood it may be Michael the archangel, I don't know. But anyway, in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 20, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. In verse 2, and he laid hold unto the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Hasatan, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. In verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive or trick the nations no more. That's what the devil does for a living, ladies and gentlemen. He deceives the nations. He tricks them. Now, he will not be allowed to deceive the nations anymore till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. That's another Bible study. Anyway, verse 4 of Revelation chapter 20. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Yah, and which had not worshipped the beast, the geopolitical and religious system that is rising right before our eyes, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. So that's what we have to look forward to if we lose our lives and having the spirit of Messiah in us. That is what we have to look forward to. So let's look at briefly world events. First of all, with Koinonia World Watch Daily, the top news, December 16th, 2014. You can turn with me or go to this website if you want to by simply typing the URL www.watch.org. Unilateral UN moves will lead to instability. United States Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met in Rome on Monday with U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry in a bid to thwart a potential move at the UN to recognize a Palestinian state within 2 years if peace talks fail to produce an agreement. Here we go again with this ridiculous, and it reminds me of a prophecy again. Let me turn to Judges. Judges. Scripture popped in my mind. Judges chapter 2, verse 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and I brought you unto the land which I swore unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my agreement or covenant with you. Verse 2, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? This is a prophecy. They're still not obeying his voice to this day. Verse 3, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns. And that word is added by the King James. That is a good addition. As thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And that's a prophecy because they still are today. And it will remain until they decide to do what the Lord commands them to do, the Jewish people, in this passage of scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. So let's keep an eye on Jerusalem. Another headline here, Lieberman. Israel standing in the world is in danger if we don't present a diplomatic initiative. So let's continue to look at what's going on in the Middle East. Again, I'm going to tell you this over and over and over again. The great trouble called the Great Tribulation will begin and end at Jerusalem. For proof of that, study Zechariah chapter 12, 13 and 14, the Olivet Prophecies, Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark chapter 13, Daniel chapter 12. All right, let's take a look at domestic news. To do that, you need to turn to theeconomiccollapseblog.com. Turn, or more correctly, type in your browsers, theeconomiccollapseblog.com. Are you prepared for the coming economic collapse and the next Great Depression? He asks. Are we? It says right here, a full-blown economic crisis has erupted in Russia. In Russia. Continue to read that at your leisure. I'm just reading the headlines here. It says, we just witnessed the worst week for global financial markets in 3 years. Let me read this. Is this the start of the next major financial crisis? The nightmarish collapse of the price of oil is creating panic in financial markets all over the planet. On June 16th, U.S. oil was trading at a price of $107.52. Since then, it has fallen by almost $50 in less than 6 months. This has only happened one other time in our history. In the summer of 2008, the price of oil utterly collapsed, and we all remember what happened after that. Well, the same patterns that we witnessed back in 2008 are happening again. As the price of oil crashed in 2008, so did prices for a whole host of other commodities. This is happening again. Once commodities start crashing, the market for junk bonds started to implode. This is also happening again. Finally, toward the end of 2008, we witnessed a horrifying stock market crash. Could we be on the verge of another major one? Last week was the worst week for the Dow in more than 3 years. Let me underscore and repeat that. Last week was the worst week for the Dow in more than 3 years. And stock markets all over the world are crashing right now. Bad financial news continues to roll in from the four corners of the globe on an almost hourly basis. Have we finally reached the tipping point, as so many have been warning about? Let's continue to watch domestic events and world events and prepare accordingly. Let's be wise. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 22 to understand what I'm talking about. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. A prudent man foresees the evil. What does foresee means in Hebrew? It means to behold, to experience, to gaze, to perceive, to regard. Hebraically, that's what it means. The evil and hides himself. What does that mean in Hebrew? It means to conceal. But the simple pass on and are punished. They're punished. So we cannot be simple-minded, folks. Yeshua stated in Luke chapter 17 that these days are similar to the days of Noah. What did Noah do? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith or trust, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We need to be preparing our spiritual arcs and our physical arcs, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Now we need to focus on the topic of this program, which is a very important topic. All of them are important, but this is certainly important. This doctrine, the doctrine of immersions, is so important. All of them are. But let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 2. It says, of the doctrine of baptisms, and that's in the King James Version, it says baptisms, but that word should be translated immersions. And so I want to focus on that particular doctrine. There's six major doctrines of Yah. The first one is repentance from dead works, which really, in a nutshell, corrects most, if not all, of Christianity, because most, if not all, of Christianity teaches that the law of Moses, which is the law of God, is nailed to the cross, and we don't have to focus on any works. And that's not true, because why would this first doctrine state that we have to repent from dead works if there's no works involved? Number two, faith toward God, trust in God. I spoke about that last week. The third doctrine of Yah is the doctrine of immersions, which is translated baptisms in English. And of laying on of hands. A lot of people don't understand this doctrine. This involves government or organization in the assembly. Authority. Who has the authority and who doesn't. And of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. These are the six basic doctrines of Yah that are being restored in these end times. And to be able to go on and teach correctly, you have to understand these basic doctrines, ladies and gentlemen. And so we're going to focus on the third basic doctrine today, immersions. And I'm going to read a commentary. I do read commentaries when they make sense and when it's supported by scriptures. This is by David Stern, and he wrote the Jewish New Testament commentary. And this is his commentary on Hebrews 6, verse 2. Greek baptismon, in the normal New Testament word, not for the immersion which accompanies coming to faith, but for washings or purification. So this is the word, this is what it means primarily, for washings or purifications, of which the initial immersion is but one. And so the immersion to come into Messiah is just one of the many purification rites or immersion rites. The Messianic Jewish readers would have been familiar with this subject, since the Tanakh speaks of such purifications in many places. Also John 13, verse 3 to 17. And the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands. It's called Shmika. S and then apostrophe M-I-K-H-A-H. Shmika. The laying on of hands. Refers here to the ordination of the individual. Ordination means that you appoint someone for a specific task. Ordination of an individual for a particular task of ministry by the elders of a congregation, as with Shaul. And that example is found in Acts 13, verse 1, and Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Also see Matthew chapter 21, verse 31. Instruction about washing leads to the whole question of how to live a holy life in a sinful world, while Shmika introduces the subject of working for the kingdom of God. Working for the kingdom of God. Compare James 1, verse 27, where it says the religious observance or worship that God the Father considers pure and faultless is defined in essentially the same terms. And so, when we think about immersion, we should understand water. I'm going to break this down. Whenever our bodies become dirty, what does a human being do? Or what should we do as human beings? Out of respect to God, ourselves, and to other human beings, we wash our dirty bodies, right? Well, we also have to purify our minds. And how can that be accomplished, ladies and gentlemen? It has to be accomplished through the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that that's going to be accomplished, ladies and gentlemen. We have to purify our bodies and our minds. We have to do both, ladies and gentlemen. Both are important. Both must be done. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24, gives you an understanding, part of the understanding anyway, of how the Holy Spirit works when you receive it. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. It says, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. From all your idols will I cleanse you." Verse 26 of Ezekiel 36. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." And verse 27, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you," that word cause means make, influence, fulfill, provide you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. It helps you to obey. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 reveals the following. "Seeing you have purified your souls." And how do we purify our souls? This is what the doctrine of immersion really is all about. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth." What is the truth? Psalm 119, 142 tells you the entire instructions of God. The Torah is the truth. Yeshua, when he prayed to his Father, in John chapter 17, verse 17, said, "Thy word is truth." And so that's how we purify our minds. We purify our souls, our lives, and our minds by obeying the truth. Through what? The Holy Spirit. I just read to you God's promise through the prophet Ezekiel on what the Holy Spirit would do. So 1 Peter 1, verse 22, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, See that ye love one another with your pure heart fervently. And so if we continue to obey the truth by studying the word of God, we will continue to receive the Holy Spirit. We will continue to purify our souls. And we will start to love the brethren. But if you turn away from the Bible, just like I get some people say, well, cannot, we're tired of the same old scriptures. Well, do you get tired of the same old, your favorite food? Or do you get tired of your favorite sports team that you look at all the time? No. So here's the problem, folks. I'm going to get deep. All right. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. Or 2 Thessalonians, rather. 2 Thessalonians. This is a prophecy about the Messiah, the anti-Messiah, who may be alive right now as I'm speaking. Okay. And it states here that in verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The only other man that was called the son of perdition in the entire Bible was Judas. And so this individual will be a betrayer, whoever he is. Verse 4, who oppose and exalt himself above all that is called Yah, or that is worshipped, so that he as Yah sits in the temple of Yah. He will sit in a temple. The temple will be rebuilt, according to Bible prophecy, ladies and gentlemen. And this anti-Messiah will sit in the temple and claim that he is Yah. Verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Verse 6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Iniquity meaning sin, willful sin is committed. You don't care, you just do it anyway. He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of a way. Verse 8. And then that wicked, with a capital W in the King James Version, shall be revealed, whom the master shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Hasatan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And so this anti-Messiah will have all the power of the devil, all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And so when you're perishing, you are deceived. And that deception has something to do and heavily involved with unrighteousness. And why? Because they receive not the, does it say the truth? No, it says the love of the truth. The love of the truth. Greek agape. Affection, deep affection and benevolence. You should have a love feast when it comes to the Torah. Just like you love your favorite football team. Just like you love your kids. Just like you have to have the same love, or even more so, for the scriptures. If you don't, you simply will not make it, ladies and gentlemen, according to the scriptures, that they might be saved. You have to receive the love of the truth to be saved, ladies and gentlemen, according to the scriptures. In verse 10, it says, and with all deceivableness unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11, and for this cause, Yah shall send them strong delusion. Strong delusion, not little delusion, strong deception delusion. And Yah is sending this to test us all, that they should believe a lie. A lie. In verse 12, that they all might be damned. And this is in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, so don't get me, because I'm saying damned is in the Bible. That they might be damned who believe not the truth, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. When you don't believe the truth, which is the entire words of God, then the Bible tells you that you have pleasure in unrighteousness. I'm trying to break this down so that you can understand what the deal is here, ladies and gentlemen. You have to love the truth. You can't just obey it, just receive it. You have to love it. It's like you love your favorite football game or favorite this or favorite that, and you don't mind repetition of it. You should not mind repetition of the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. if you have a problem with, oh, I'm tired, I've heard that before, I've heard this scripture before, then you have some serious issues with your relationship with Yah, and you need to repent. All right? So I just got to tell you for your own good, if you have that problem. If you have that problem. Okay, so we understand that the doctrine of immersions involves living purely so that you can serve others. Now, I know that many of you in this movement are familiar with the mikvah bath and the fact that when they were doing this way before Yohanan the Immerser, John the Baptist, was doing it, they would dump themselves in the water and come out a new person. It was their way of repenting of not acting appropriately. Also, there's other different types of cleansing rituals. Exodus 30 involved the priests, which we are priests as well, by the way, but of the Melchizedek line. That's another Bible study. Exodus chapter 30, verse 19 to 20. Exodus 30, verse 19 to 20. Exodus 30, verse 19 to 20. States the following: for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereon. Verse 20. Remember when Yeshua was washing the feet of the Talmudim. Verse 20. When they go into the tabernacle of the assembly, they shall wash with water that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the master. Verse 21. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statue forever to them. And then, you know, feet certainly is symbolic of how we walk, our halakha. All right? To him and to his seed throughout their generations. So that's a type of immersion, type of cleansing. Leviticus chapter 15, of course, has a few immersion or purification rites here. Leviticus chapter 15. Talks about a man having a running issue. You know what that is, and what to do as far as purifying himself there. It talks about a woman in her period, how she's purified. And so this is very interesting that God is really, really concerned about the clean and the unclean. And we need to be concerned about it as well. And this is another problem that I see in this movement. People don't understand that we must purify ourselves. And they don't understand this scripture in particular in 2 Corinthians. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. It says the following: be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. So we shouldn't attach ourselves to them. It doesn't mean that we can't have any associations at all with them. You have to work. You have to be around them, but you shouldn't yoke with them. And this is the reason why. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? None. And what concord has Messiah with Belial? Or what part have he that believeth with an infidel? An infidel is someone who is not a believer. Verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? The temple of God is, of course, the people of God. Who are the idols? Well, that's the rest. That's the rest of mankind. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And so you know what Revelation 18, verse 4, you should know. It states, come out from her, my people. Why? So that you won't receive any of her plagues. That's Revelation 18, verse 4. God doesn't want us to receive confusion's plagues. Babylon Hebraically means confusion. This geopolitical religious system of this world is confusion. And he wants us to remove ourselves from that to the best that we can. And so we have to take that seriously. And so immersion involves cleansing our minds, but ultimately we need the Holy Spirit to cleanse our minds, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. And let me quote another scripture to help you understand this better about the sacrifice of Messiah. Hebrews chapter 9. Starting at verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He obtained eternal life for us, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 9. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. So that's all the sacrifices did, ladies and gentlemen. It allowed someone to come into the presence of Yah physically, but not spiritually. They were able to purify their flesh so they can come in the presence of God and give sacrifices to him. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And so that's what the Holy Spirit does. It purges your mind from doing dead works so that you can serve the living God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. It says, for the Torah, having a shadow of things to come, not the very image of those things, can never without those sacrifices. Now, it's talking about that part of the Torah, which is not done away. It's just been temporarily suspended because there's no temple. But anyway, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continue make the comers there unto perfect. Let me repeat this. The sacrifices which were offered year by year continually could not make the comers perfect. God wants to make us perfect. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, it says, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Perfection is the goal, ladies and gentlemen. And verse 2, for then would they have not ceased to be offered because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more consciousness of sins. And so through the shed blood of Christ, just like he stated that he, by him leaving, we would receive the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit helps us not remember our sin anymore. Because if you keep on remembering your sin, you're going to be tempted to do it, right? Well, the Holy Spirit also removes that sin from your mind if you're studying the Bible and if you're obeying him, because only if you obey him will you receive the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts 5, verse 32. You stop obeying him, you won't receive the Holy Spirit anymore. And if you do that, then you won't have the ability to understand the Bible and you will not have the ability to overcome sin. Hebrews 10, verse 3, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. All right? Taking away sins is not just taking away the sin, it's also taking away the remembrance of sin. Remember that. Remember that. And that's what immersion is all about, purifying our minds so we don't even think about the sin. And so let me quickly go over, well, not quickly, but I have enough time. I can actually go over the process of how we become, what leads us to immersion. All right, Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Verse 3. I'm going to quote this from the greatest man who ever lived outside of Messiah. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the immersion of repentance. The immersion of repentance for the remission, the removal of sins. The removal of sins involves removing the sin and the remembrance of sin. Verse 4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, the halakha of the master. Make his paths, his halakha, straight. Verse 5, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. Verse 6, and all flesh, all of mankind shall see the salvation of God. Verse 7, then said he to the multitude that came forth to be immersed of him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, of change, of teshuvah, turning around, going back in the right direction, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that Yah is able to, of these stones, raise up children unto Abraham. Verse 9, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Who are the trees in this context? Us. To help you better understand that, read Psalm chapter 1. It talks about trees, human beings being trees. And certainly in this context, Yohanan is talking about us being trees. So, and now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth forth not good fruit, bringeth not forth good fruit, good behavior. That's what the fruit is talking about here, not literal fruit, but good behavior is honed down and cast into the fire. And of course, naturally, I'll be doing the same thing in verse 10. And the people ask, well, what shall we do then? Because they didn't want to get tossed in the fire. Most people, most reasonable people, don't want to be tossed in a lake of fire. All right? And in verse 11, he answered and said unto them, he that has two coats, let him impart to him that have none. And he that have food, let him do likewise. So the catalyst for repentance is learning how to sacrifice, learning how to give. Hold your place in Luke 3, verse 1. The Lord has put another scripture in my mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 states plainly, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yah, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable service. And along with this, in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. We can't be attached to this world, ladies and gentlemen. Had to drink some water. But ye be transformed. Excuse me. But ye be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God. So you have to renew your mind. Be transformed. That's what immersion does, because when you are immersed in the water, it's like you become a new person when you rise out of the water, ladies and gentlemen. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yeshua gave us an example on how to get immersed, ladies and gentlemen. I must go over that in the remaining time that I have. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. Let's follow the master's example, not Matthew 13, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. States plainly, I indeed immerse you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall immerse you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that fire immersion means he'll wipe you out. It also can mean that he will test you and trial you through difficulties. Verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. He'll gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, which is the interpretation of immersion of fire. In that context, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so, Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Yeshua from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be immersed of him. But Yohanan forbid him, saying, I have need to be immersed of thee, and you come to me? And verse 15. And Yeshua answered, said unto him, allow it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. All right, so Yeshua was immersed to give us an example that we must do that too, because 1 John 2, verse 6 says we must follow his example. So that's the number one reason why we get immersed, to follow his, or one of the reasons, one of the major reasons, is to follow his example, ladies and gentlemen. Now, in Acts chapter 8 is another, I like to go over this because this is interesting what happened here. The Holy Spirit spoke to Philip, Acts 8 verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. This is the Ethiopian. And he was very interested in the truth of Yah. But he needed help in understanding the scriptures. And that's what I do when any other verifiable and honest and truthful Torah teacher does. They help you understand the Bible. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand what thou read, or do you understand what you're reading? In verse 31, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he will come up and sit. Let me repeat that again. Verse 31. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? That's what Torah teachers are all about. They help you understand the Bible. Just like if you go to school and the professor is teaching you marketing. He's helping you better understand marketing because he's more experienced than you about this topic, enough to teach it to you. Verse 32. Of Acts chapter 8. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Verse 33. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So he was quoting in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 53. Acts 8 verse 34. And an eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speak of the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And of course, he was talking about Messiah there. In verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Yeshua. Verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does stop me or hinder me from being immersed? And Philip said, if you believe with all thine heart, you may get immersed. And what does that involve, ladies and gentlemen? It certainly involves proof of repentance, fruits worthy of repentance. And he answered and said, I believe that Yeshua Messiah is the Son of God. And he commanded that the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he immersed him. And so they both went into the water, but Jewish tradition, as far as the mikvah, or being immersed in the water, the individual decides to immerse, and then the other person may go into the water with them, but they don't touch them. They allow the person to immerse themselves in the water. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of Yah called away Philip out, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing, because he received the Spirit of joy, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And this is what is said about the Ethiopian in verse 27 of Acts chapter 8. And it says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. And so obviously he was not a newbie. He was coming to Jerusalem to worship. So he was studying into this Yeshua, who he is, what's his significance. And obviously, he was ready to get immersed at that time. All right. And so, in Acts 2, verse 38, let's go over this. Acts 2, verse 38. Looks like I'm not going to be able to go over the Torah readings today, unfortunately, because this is a very, 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 very important topic. And hopefully, I'll be able to go over the Torah readings briefly next week. Anyway, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 38. Then Peter, or Kepha, said unto them, repent, do teshuvah, and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua Messiah, for the remission of sins, or for the removal of sins. What does that removal involve? It involves the literal removal of the sin, but also the remembrance of the sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord Yah shall call. That's interesting that the promise is to those who he will call. That's another Bible study. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, or this warped generation. Acts 3, verse 19. Acts 3, verse 19 states the following. Do to Shuva, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So when you repent and show fruits of worthy of repentance and be converted, which involves having your sins being blotted out through the Holy Spirit, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And so you repent, you receive the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit you become converted. Now, is there a Bible definition of conversion? Yes, it is. Or being converted. Acts chapter 28. Let's turn there. Acts 28, verse 27. Acts 28, verse 27 states the following. For the heart of this people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, that not they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So the process of conversion is understanding the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to see with your eyes and hear with your ears and understand the scriptures. That's what being converted is all about, ladies and gentlemen. Romans chapter 6 pictures the following. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Most of Christianity says, yes, you can continue to do that. Be in sin. All you got to do is think about the blood of Messiah. And whenever I commit adultery or whenever I have wicked thoughts or whatever, it's just wiped away. And so what? I don't have to worry about anything. I'm guaranteed salvation. Well, that's the wrong way to understand grace, ladies and gentlemen. Hold your place here in Romans 6, verse 1. Let's turn to Titus. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11, here's the definition of grace. For the grace of Yah that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So grace empowers us to live righteously. What is righteousness? Psalm 119, verse 172. It's all the commandments of God, all of instructions, all of his instructions. That's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. Going back to Romans. Chapter 6, verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were immersed into Yeshua Messiah were baptized unto his death? Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by immersion into death. And so when you get immersed, you die. That like as Messiah was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's a promise. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no dominion over him. Verse 10, for in that he died into sin once, but, excuse me, but in that he liveth unto Yah. Verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Yah through Yeshua Messiah, our master. And verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. We still have mortal bodies. We're not immortal yet. That ye should obey it, and the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Yah as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto Yah. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under Torah, but under grace. When you're under the Torah, that means you will receive the curses of Torah, but if you are obeying the Torah, you're not under those curses anymore. They will not affect you. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves service to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So we need to become the servants of righteousness, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of your infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, iniquity is sin that you repeat over and over again willingly. You willfully sin, or you sin on purpose, and you know that you're sinning, and you don't care, and you continue to do it. Even so now you yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Verse 20, for when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. And so, of course, when you're servants of sin, you are free from righteousness. Verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things wherein you are now ashamed? That's the definition of fruit. It's talking about behavior. For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, to have your fruit unto holiness, your behavior, how you act, how you treat people, and the end, everlasting life. This is a very powerful scripture here, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Wages is what you earn. If you continue along the path after understanding the truth and you still reject the truth, then you will die. That's what it's saying. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yah is eternal life through Messiah, or Yeshua Messiah, our master. Very important to understand that, ladies and gentlemen. And we have to understand the importance of being immersed, receiving the Holy Spirit, and moving on from there. Another thing that I want to quote here in Acts 8. This is how I, when someone wants to get immersed, I followed what the apostles did. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 18. It says, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Kepha and John. Verse 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, or Ruach HaKodesh. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only when they were immersed in the name of the Master Yeshua. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, or the Ruach HaKodesh. Verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit, or the Ruach HaKodesh, was given, he offered them money. So, that's how, in most cases, the Holy Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on them. So how I do it, and it's based on the scriptures, they are immersed. I don't touch their body at all. They have to decide themselves to make this choice to become a new person. And so they submerge themselves under the water. We make sure that everything is submerged in the water. We make sure that no thumb or arm is sticking out. We make sure that their whole entire body is in the water. And then when they arise, they become a new person. And then an elder or elders lay their hands on them and ask that the Holy Spirit be put in them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's how we do it. That's how the Bible indicates it can be done. I know it's been done other ways. But since the apostles are the foundation of the assembly, I'm going to go by the apostles' example. All right. The practical application of this show. Immersions involve cleaning the mind and body from sin. We need to cleanse our minds by studying the Bible and applying it to our life. That's what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. All right. The next topic of this show is interesting. Well, I hope they're all interesting. Is the characteristics of the last days. What are the characteristics of the last days. So to help us understand that we are living in the last days. Scripture, the foundational scripture for the program next week is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. And if we are able to get to it, the Torah readings for next week is Genesis 44, verse 18 to Genesis 47, verse 27. Ezekiel 37, verse 15 to 28. John chapter 5, verse 1 to 47. Please go to my blog, mercifulletters.com, mercifulletters.com. Also my website, mercifulserviceofgod.com. And then I am advertised as one of the programs on Messianic Lamb Radio. You can click on the link where I'm advertised. You can go right to an archive page. And this program should be available in the archives by, I think, the end of next Shabbat. Please go to hosannarabbah.org, HOSHANARABBAH.org, where you can get a free document that will help you read the entire Bible in a year based on the traditional Torah readings. Do you have any biblical questions at all? I'll be glad to answer those questions. Please email me at kennard@mercifulserviceofgod.com. The Master has blessed me with a tremendous amount of resources, biblical resources. If I don't have the answer, I'll do the best I can to come up with it. And I do not charge for this service. It's absolutely, entirely free. Although I do accept your donations if you wish to do so. But anyway, I will do the best I can to answer your questions by email, or I may decide to answer your questions on this program. Okay? And so may the Master bless and keep you. Shalom. Peace.
Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts.
Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Mm-hmm.